Hi, and welcome to today's call. As you might know, over the last few weeks, we've been doing, I guess, some emergency debriefs as call sessions just between internal for agency and our clients, but we decided to release some of those for the wider industry on the web. As we were doing some of those calls, we've been doing them from an advertising perspective, but we thought it might be actually also interesting to start maybe including our industry partners in that and to hear how are they seeing the effects of the coronavirus on the aspect of digital that they're looking after. So I'm very proud to introduce one of the other agency founders who we've been doing quite a lot of work with over the years. So I just wanted to welcome Damien Brown from Data Runs Deep onto this call today.
Hey there.
So welcome, Damien. I actually went through our emails just to know how long have we actually been working together. So we actually started working together in 2013. So
Oh, wow, seriously.
this is our 7-year itch this year, apparently.
That's incredible. If it's, I don't know if it's true, but if the human body kind of regenerates every single cell in 7 years, that means I've got no cell in my body that's older than how long I've known you.
Oh, that means we don't really know each other then.
God damn it, yeah. We've got no idea who anyone is now.
Yeah. We've been working with Data, we've been working with Damien, Data Runs Deep, for a number of years now. I've had a few shared clients as well. As you may know about our agency, Intentional, we've made a decision at founding that we will only concentrate on one thing, which is the paid advertising side of things. So we don't do social media management or email marketing or web development or any of these other things. And we will work with partner agencies who specialize in one thing well as well. And one of the things we've loved is, Damien, you've been running Data Runs Deep and you do one thing well. You do analytics. Amazing. Maybe before we jump into any of our conversation today, do you want to just give us a quick introduction to Data Runs Deep for anyone who doesn't know you and maybe share a bit of your journey as well?
Yeah, sure, man. Happy to. Data Runs Deep has been around, I guess, since toward the end of 2012 is when it sort of started as, I'll call it an agency, but really it was just myself and another contractor. And what we found was that there are lots of agencies and kind of good people who are dealing with those kind of with the spokes, but there wasn't so much about the hub. And we'd often find that businesses have this kind of blind spot where, look, I know I'm getting all this traffic coming through, but actually we're not really sure where it's going after that and what people are doing and how we can improve their experience. So the agency was kind of born in that kind of sweet spot, I guess, where we wanted to build better mousetraps. So to kind of say, right, how can you better segment your audience to kind of figure out what different types of people are doing on your site? Everyone knows this, I think, now, but it's a mistake to think of all your visitors as just being homogenous or just being one person. There's no such thing as a user journey. There's no such thing as that archetypal visitor, that everybody's different. So how can we kind of build better structures to let you segment those things? And it became quite technical. So through Google Tag Manager coming through, and I needed to know about things like the data layer and stuff that I had no conception of even existing. And so from that sweet spot, as it's become more mature, I guess, over the years, we've grown to a team now of 21, mostly based in Melbourne with offices in Sydney and in Hobart as well. And we specialize in the Google Analytics stack. So we work with Geo360 on the enterprise level, but we also work with not-for-profits and friendlies and startups using the free version of Google software.
Yeah, fantastic. It's been a pleasure just watching your agency grow over the years too. One of the ways that we got in touch with you, or we first got introduced, was that you guys hosted the Web Analytics Wednesday meetups, which, you know, we found extremely valuable. And I guess that's still going. I guess maybe, do you want to share a bit about that too, and Measure Camp as well?
Yeah, right. So it was, it's all sort of part of the similar kind of genesis, I think, is because I was looking in 2012 at what things were like in other countries. And one observation which I'd make from Australia, I'm from the UK originally, it's not a speech impediment, that's where my accent comes from. The UK and the US and Europe, they had much more sophisticated analytics sort of departments within businesses, probably because they were much more affected by the GFC than we were over here. So we're kind of insulated here because we kept pulling stuff out of the ground and selling it to China, and that kept WA going and that kept the rest of the country afloat. I oversimplify it, but it meant that we had marketing budgets between 2008 and 2012 that were always going up. Other countries didn't have that. So in the US and in the UK, they were trying to do more with less, so putting more effort into the analytics. So looking at these markets where there was a sort of more mature, more involved analytics sort of presence, one thing that really underpinned that was community. So Web Analytics Wednesday was set up by some guys in the US many years ago, and they wanted to kind of sort of not quite a franchise, but they wanted to have their model adopted by people all around the world. And there'd been some occasions where people had started running them in Melbourne and in Sydney. Mm-hmm. Sydney had its was going on its trajectory for a super long time, and the core people are still doing that. They've been doing it for many years. But in Melbourne, we only really had these occasional flashes in the pan when someone might think, oh, right, I'm going to have my agency sponsor this, and then we'll use it to do lead gen and we'll collect email addresses. So I thought, okay, what is the furthest possible thing from that we can do? So found a bar, a horse bazaar in yes. Little Lonsdale Street, where I'm sure you remember the bipping smoke alarm, yep. and the having to be moved out halfway through the evening so they could have live hip hop going on. And the only place I think on a Wednesday night you could get Web Analytics Wednesday and dumplings and a massage. So it was like just a really, really great way to kind of think, well, what happens if you get people in and you don't sell to them? Mm. And so as well as yourself, Adam, like made great friendships and some business relationships in there as well. Mm, and you absolutely. Look at now at the analytics community, we have Web Analytics Wednesday taking place once a month in Auckland, in Sydney, in Melbourne. MeasureCamp, which is like a full day analytics conference that was set up by a guy called Peter O'Neill in London, that happens literally all over the world. Like, you could probably, if you were a man or woman of means, and if air travel was possible in the current climate, yeah. you could probably just travel the world just doing MeasureCamps every week if you really wanted to. But it's great because it fosters this whole kind of non-compete culture where yep. people help each other and help out and answer questions. And it's difficult to imagine what the analytics world would be like if that community side of it didn't exist.
Mm. Yeah, well, look, I mean, speaking from our side, from our agency land, I mean, surprisingly, we were probably one of the few agencies that were present, but it helped us so much. And I think one of the things that we're most grateful for was that the questions that came up through every session, there's a different presenter, and they'll present their findings in analytics. But I think the questions that get raised were the best, because you walk away with better questions to ask of your own accounts, of your own segments, like better ways to be slicing and dicing and looking at things. So we've got a lot to be thankful for. Well, in that little blurb just then, you just mentioned something very important. So that Australia was kind of sheltered, you know, because we weathered the GFC storm quite well compared to the rest of the world. Clearly right now, we're in a bit of a storm globally. And so that's the reason for this call today. So I was just curious, what are you seeing analytics-wise? What have you noticed over the last, it's probably been a good 3-4 weeks of lockdown here. What sort of trends have you been noticing? What sort of things are you advising clients?
It's certainly like it's unprecedented times, right? That's what everybody's saying. So if I can just get out of the way early, my use of the words unprecedented, surreal, never before seen. Try not to use those things up again. But yeah, look, things are obviously very, very different right now. And we've conducted a couple of sort of ad hoc kind of web meetings, where we've got some of our clients and some of our like just friends we know through the community, or people who are working client side, so they can kind of compare notes and sort of talk about how they're having to do things. And some common themes are emerging. I'll preface this by saying that, you know, we do work with retailers. Some of the larger ones that recent weeks have decided to close their retail stores but keep online open.
Yep.
And as you'd expect, that's like a hockey stick. You know, it's like if only it was that easy. You know, to increase sales online, you just have to close all of your stores, right? If only we'd thought of that. So you know, like anecdotally, I guess like a lot of these people are seeing that there's a lot more traffic coming through. But I guess the themes that we're seeing is almost across the board, people having to do more with less. And by that, I mean they're having more demands asked of them by the business. Mm. So people at the top of the businesses are caring more and more about the numbers than they ever were before, which is cool in a sense, because a lot of the time people who work in analytics always wish that people would pay more attention to what they're doing. Be careful what you wish for. Now, I think what's happening is, and a number of people have told us this, is that they might be asked to make a change on a website 4 p.m. on Monday, and then 7 a.m. on Tuesday they wake up and there's already an email from the boss saying, did that change, do we have an increase from that? There's a big pressure as well to make sure that all activity is driven towards a sale or driven towards an outcome. And that is true of people who are doing well with their traffic at the moment, as well as websites that aren't so busy. Uncertainty means that you just want to be driving the sales to do whatever you can to be making these results come through. So what that means, I think, is that people are having to produce more insight. Use the word loosely there. Produce more insight into this sort of like flash of performance review, but with less. And by doing it with less, I mean they have less time to do it because yep. they're being asked more frequently. But also, we're seeing a lot of departments are having people retrenched. 10% of marketing team kind of at home, not doing anything. Which means work has got to be done by somebody.
One of the things that we're seeing on the advertising side was that because of everyone working from home, because of the forced isolation, we'd sort of predicted a few weeks ago that what that's going to mean is that we're going to see obviously a lot more eyeballs online for longer, which in a stable world, like of supply and demand, that would mean you'll have more ad inventory available. And even if you have the same number of advertisers, that would likely mean that you'll see a drop in CPMs. And so we actually are seeing that, and that if brands are dropping out, then we'll probably be seeing CPMs dropping even further if given the supply and demand equation. Are you seeing that in terms of your analytics? Are you seeing a lot more volume at the moment, but maybe less buying intent? Or how is it from your side, from an analytics point of view?
It varies. Like one of the important metrics that we encourage e-commerce sites to look for is the relationship. So there are two metrics in enhanced e-commerce and Google Analytics. There's buy to detail rate and cart to detail rate. Cart to detail rate is the percentage of people who view the product detail that put it in their cart, and buy to detail rate is the percentage of people that view the product and then put, and then actually purchase it. And in some verticals and some product categories, buy to detail and cart to detail are through the roof. They're massive.
Yep, of course.
And so things like we know from a department store that coffee machines were like a big run on when people started working from home. Right before, because of course you're working from home, you need coffee. Right before that, it was monitors and keyboards. Mm. So there's these kind of things where people are like, they're thinking, right, I'm working from home. I've got to figure this out. I gather what it's been. There's been a run this week on video games because people are thinking, shit, I can't leave the house for 4 days over Easter. I need something that's going to occupy my time, and it's going to be something for the PlayStation or the Xbox. So with these individual things, I think there's an interesting set of behavior there that you're right. You'll see there'll be a massive uptick in volume. There'll be people are rushed to do it. So in fact, you know, they could have searched for Call of Duty and seen an ad and clicked on the ad, and they've almost forgotten they've even done that. They're just so focused on buying it. So that's going to, of course, have effects on CPA and advertising metrics. But what interests me as well, and I think very, very few people are tracking that, is do we ever track how long it takes for somebody to view the product until the purchase is complete?
Yep.
And I don't just mean that in number of sessions or number of page views, but in number of seconds. Because I reckon there's people who, as soon as hand sanitizer comes on Amazon, they're probably buying it within like 14 seconds of initially seeing it.
Yep.
Or even less than that with Amazon and it's crazy addictive one click or one swipe ordering. So this is kind of like an interesting thing as well, I think, is that we can look at what the numbers are telling us, and we can come in and check out 7 o'clock in the morning whether there's been any change to a tweet we made on the website at 4 o'clock yesterday. But at the same time, people are behaving in a really different way.
Yeah.
Because they're scared and because they want things quickly and because they're buying more, right? You're right. They're at home, they're engaged, they've got nothing else to do apart from go online. And that interests me. The problem, I think, is, or the risk is that because we're all so busy being reactive, no one's got the time to investigate what's actually happening in that new set of
very true.
Use and behaviors.
You mentioned making tweaks to websites and that, you know, maybe CMOs, etc., they've been ordered to make these changes. Are there tweaks that you're recommending, at least from an analytics point of view, like given the current climate, here's what you guys should be doing on a website? Like, are there things that you're, and maybe it's too general, but are there things that you're saying to most clients, at the very least, you should be doing at least this?
Hi, it's Chris again, Mission Director at Intentional. What unprecedented times we find ourselves in. It's so challenging with so much uncertainty. Our heart is to provide clarity in at least one area for founders and marketers alike. Each week, we'll continue to provide an update on insights from our ad accounts and collate the wider industry trends. So is there someone in your world that could use some clarity for their advertising right now? Could I ask you to hit share and send a link on? Thanks for your support.
Yeah, it's you're right. It's dangerous to generalize. But one thing I think is that if we sort of accept that it's likely that people are behaving in a different way, one easy or relatively easy way of kind of picking up on that change in behavior is to look at site search reports. And so you may find that there are things that are being searched at the moment. The thing is, think about products, it's easy to think of with e-commerce, but there's probably things that are being searched for at the moment that are not what you'd expect normally people to be searching for. Now, maybe your top three or four products are going to be the same all the time, but maybe there's that something in that sort of like that middle tail that maybe wasn't there previously. So you might think that in terms of making a change, can we think about elevating some of those products to, if not the homepage, then maybe like a particular landing page? Or if we've got sort of, you know, just in, you know, that you have these kind of product lists that might say, here are new products. Mm. Maybe instead of having that there, it's more valuable to kind of like add something which is, you know, trending or something where you're detecting that people are kind of looking.
Great.
So site search is a really good barometer about how people are reacting. You know? And there's always something in there that can be, even if you're not selling anything, it's certain content that people are looking for.
Great.
The other one I suggest is if you have a banner on your site that says, here's what my company's doing about COVID, and you're tracking to see how many people are clicking on that to read more, you'll find that nobody's clicking on that to read more. Nobody cares. So get rid of that banner and just get back to doing what you're doing.
Good tip.
That's a generalization.
Actually, one other question about, obviously there are some categories that are doing really well. Have you seen any themes of what are the kinds of businesses that are maybe weathering the storm quite even just going sideways, like that the virus isn't really affecting them that much compared to others which have completely dropped off, or others that are skyrocketing just because of stockpiling? Like, are there themes around the businesses that are just almost business as usual as it could be under these circumstances?
The only ones that kind of spring to mind are edge cases. In terms of like one that is I think is a good story and is going to come out and emerge good from this, from pivoting. The cosmetics company, they have a lot of stores. You will know them. They're in a lot of departure lounges and shopping centers and stuff like that. And they're very big on the idea of consultation. Mm. So although they have an online store, that's for people who know what they want. Their bread and butter really is people that walk in and say, I have no idea what my skin type is, or I think I do, I just need some guidance. And they were very, very quick to adopt FaceTime for exactly that consultation. Because, of course, they got the staff who were kind of furloughed, and they've got the website which is there, and the way of connecting the two together is pretty straightforward. And I think that's awesome. Like, that kind of shows how you go about kind of changing the delivery. That's a fundamental thing that makes your business great.
And that's
terribly cool.
And then from your end, you're able to then show the analytics behind usage of FaceTime and then what then that does to perhaps online product sales?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from a purely analytics perspective, that's kind of a dream because if somebody goes in, I mean, let's say you do a whole load of advertising, you're trying to get someone to walk into a store, well, you don't actually know very much from what happens after that. And yeah, you've got the store visits metric, but as we know, that's just based on Android users who've opted into location sharing, and so it's a bit fuzzy. You never actually know whether somebody's kind of gone through and just sat there for the consultation and walked out, or whether they spent $500, and that's a pretty large margin of dissonance that I'd want some clarity over. As soon as everything comes online, you would know that exactly what campaign and ad variation, keyword placement, targeting, anything has driven up to that conversion point of booking the FaceTime consult. And then as provided the client ID and Google Analytics stays the same, so provided the user doesn't kind of delete their cookies or use a completely different device, you can then tap back to actual money spent if they buy something afterwards. Mm. So in a sense, when everything kind of comes digital, because digital is a lot easier to track than anything, whether it's like a half digital, half offline footprint, it's actually going to be a bit easier for these companies to demonstrate the value of their advertising, which is exciting for people like us.
Yeah, really good. Maybe one last question about that also is, do you have a lot of services-based business versus e-com? Are you primarily e-com? Like, do you see any differences between the two, how they've responded?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think it's we're not purely e-commerce. Like my brain tends to kind of fall to a lot of e-commerce examples, because I think even if you don't work for an e-commerce company, you still buy something online. So yes, we can kind of like, it's sort of not alien to many people. B2B though, we are finding that it's struggling, because of course if it's a business buying something from another business and they're thinking, okay, hang on, we're really not quite sure at the moment of what's going on, and uncertainty is meaning that the purse strings are kind of becoming sewn shut. Make no mistake, that does mean that these companies are sort of finding it challenging, and we're hearing stories of, I mean, aside from the high profile Qantas, Virgin, Intrepid, Flight Centre. Aside from those, it's like the businesses that supply those are also shuttering.
And, yeah, of course.
Yeah, things are tough. Things are tough. Like it's fine to focus as we often do in this space on what e-commerce means, but if you're a business to business, it's suddenly a lot harder, because the traffic is down. It's more difficult to figure out whether there's a whether a lead is a good lead or whether it's just somebody who's tire kicking.
Yep.
It absolutely is going to get, for a lot of companies, going to get worse before it gets better. But
yep.
Yeah. I just said I wouldn't use any cliches.
Maybe another question as you were chatting then was, and you may have mentioned some of these on the call already, but if you were to speak to a brand manager at the moment or a CMO today, and you would maybe give them, I don't know, three analytics things that potentially they should look into, what do you think those might be?
Three things. Okay. Well, the first thing is one that I have mentioned before, which is about speed. So
yep.
Figuring out a way, and it's relatively straightforward with Google Tag Manager, to figure out when somebody views a product, how long does it take for them to purchase? And that way we can then sort of figure out, you know what, there is a run on, could be something like mouthwash, I don't know, but there, you'll find that people are kind of, there's an urgency right there. So urgency is not something we've ever really sort of thought about tracking with online before, but it's definitely useful. The second thing I'd say would be automation. And so that would, feeds in, I suppose, to the problem we were discussing just before about people having to do more in terms of producing insights and producing metrics with less resource, less time. So if that can be automated rather than requiring a person to load up Google Analytics on a monitor and plod through, we all know it's not the fastest interface in the world, right? Mm. So this takes time. The smart thing really to do is to look at what can be automated, whether you're using something like Data Studio or even Tableau if you must. But Data Studio is great because it's Google, plugs into Google Ads and YouTube and lots of other things. But that can sort of surface the metrics by itself, so that you don't have to do that as a person. And then at the more sophisticated end, there could even then be automation, like if we're bringing in ideas about how we change bidding and those kind of strategies around our kind of advertising as well. That's the sort of second half of that equation. And I guess the third thing is everyone's kind of running around like a headless chicken at the moment. Mm. No offense to chickens. but no one's taking the time to look at their first party data. Because there's going to be a customer list, and it's going to sort of show your most loyal, and we can talk about CLV, and we can talk about tier one, tier two, tier three, but there's going to be something in that, because that you will, somewhere is going to, in most companies, there will exist a database somewhere, and it could be in the cloud, or it could be on a little machine over there you have to go and kick to make it work, that's going to tell you which of your customers are interacting with your brand right now, and that are still doing so. And I think that's possibly a trick that many people are missing. If all we're trying to do is just worry about acquisition, what about our old friend retention?
Nice. Oh, wow. So I think there's some really good nuggets in there. Thanks so much, Damien. There's so much gold you just shared, and I'm sure whoever's listening is going to pick up a lot from you today. If people wanted to find out more about you, if they wanted to find out how to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Oh yeah, awesome. So datarunsdeep.com.au is our website. Our Twitter, I think, is at datarunsdeep. One or other of those. Drop us a line.
Maybe last question. I know you're a bit of a music buff. Who are you listening to at the moment? Who should we be listening to?
Far be it for me to say who you should be listening to. I'm heavy rotation is a band from Ireland called Fontaines DC. I believe they're the best band in the world at the moment.
Whoa.
I also believe I've got...
You heard it here first.
I've got no way of knowing that. That's the
There's no analytics behind that? Or?
They're fantastic. They're amazing, kind of like angry punk with a good sort of Irish kind of poetic bent to their lyrics. They were due to come out to Melbourne in January this year, but then that got cancelled. Then they were due to be playing, I think, this weekend in town as well. But of course, that's been cancelled because of COVID. So December the 11th is when my ticket for the January one is still valid for. So I have to wait a long time.
All right,
so
long wait.
But yeah, Fontaines is who I recommend.
All right, no worries. Well, thanks again for the call, Dan. It's been great chatting.
Thanks, Adam. Cheers, man. Thank you.
See ya.